Maybe last time we preached on Wednesday, we looked at something from the Song of Solomon, or maybe the time before that. But I want to look tonight here, particularly in chapter number 3 of the Song of Solomon. And I want you to go with me, if you will, to verse number 6. And we'll read from verse number 6 on through verse number 11 toward the end of the chapter. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter number 3 and verse number 6 tonight. We'll begin reading there. The Bible says, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon, and he made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for the call to preach tonight. Lord, we don't ever want to lose the wonder, Lord, of your word and, Lord, being called to your service tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. God, we know we stand in a serious and a fearful place. Lord, we stand in a needful place tonight. Lord, I need your touch and I need your help. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, tonight that you'd not leave me to myself, but Lord, that you'd help us tonight. Lord, as we've gathered around the Word of God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, that you'd help us. And Lord, above all, I pray, Lord, that you'd just help us to see you. And Lord, to have a greater love and a greater appreciation, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to always, Lord, be amazed by what you've done, amazed by Calvary, and amazed by the fact that you would give your best to purchase us and pardon us, giving us salvation. Lord, we love you. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us tonight. Lord, instruct our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to leave this place better than what we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. As we come to Song of Solomon chapter number 3, we're not going to labor a whole lot of introductory thought tonight. I think most of us would at least know the gist and I guess the sum of what's being said here in this book. We know that this book is a love story. I believe tonight that this was a literal relationship and a literal story that took place between Solomon and this young Shulamite country girl that he fell in love with. And the Song of Solomon is the story of that courtship. When we come to chapter number 3, we find that all of the emotions have taken place. The relationship has formed. Intention has been expressed. And now, through this espousal, the day of the wedding has come. The Bible opens up in verse number 6 with a question. Maybe there was an onlooker, or maybe there was a witness there that saw the caravan coming down the road or coming down through the field. And the question is asked tonight, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant?" The scene before us here in the Bible is that of a wedding procession. Amen. The bridegroom would go out in these days and he would go and get his bride, or like the scene before us, he sends a group, he sends a party down to her house and down to her estate to come and to get her and to bring her to where he is. Amen. He is waiting there for her, and he sends these valiant men, the Bible says, and he sends this chariot to get his bride and to bring her unto himself. Amen. In Bible days, it's a little bit different than it is today. In our Western world, everything is centered around the bride. She has her dress and she has the long train and the young ladies or the women to help her with it. They have a flower girl that precedes her, and everybody stands and looks and turns all of their attention to the bride. And I don't want to make any of you ladies upset tonight, but understand this, that in Bible days, it wasn't really all about the bride at all. Amen. It was all about the bridegroom. Amen. Amen. He was the one who initiated everything. He was the one who was funding everything. Amen. And it was all about Him. Hey, can we borrow from that tonight and realize and understand that this thing is not about me and it's not about you, but it's all about our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He is to have the preeminence. He's the one we're worshiping tonight. Amen. Listen, you take Him out of the equation and we're just a bunch of people gathering together with no purpose. But I'm glad tonight that the songs we sang, they were about Jesus. I'm glad this book tonight is about Jesus. Hopefully with the Lord's help, by the time we get done this message, I will be all about Jesus tonight. Amen. I want to preach on this thought for just a few moments tonight. As the bridegroom sends for his bride, this witness looks up and said, "Who is this?" And it's none other than the bride being carried by these men and being ushered by this caravan to the bridegroom's house. And for a few moments tonight, if I can, I'd like to talk to you, preach on the subject of "Here Comes the Bride." Amen. Here comes the bride. Whenever we look at this text tonight, the first thing that we want to see is, of course, the procession. Look with me in verse number 6. The question is asked again. "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold, his bed, which is Solomon's." There, 60 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. Amen. This is obviously a caravan. This is obviously a parade of sorts coming out of the wilderness. And I believe that they're headed to Jerusalem. Amen. They're headed to the holy city. They're headed to where King Solomon is in all of his splendor and all of his glory. And these individuals now in the scene before us, they're headed on a journey. Amen. The question is asked, who is this? That word "this," if you go back and you study the Hebrew, it is a feminine pronoun. Amen. That leaves no debate and no question about who this is, if it's coming out of the wilderness. It's his bride. Amen. It's that country girl that he fell in love with, that he was so struck with. Amen. And he's shown his affection and she has shown hers. And now the day has come where he would draw her to himself. They would build a home together. They would be married and they would live happily ever after. Amen. Here this girl is. She's a country girl. She's a girl there out on the hillside somewhere, maybe a little farmhouse or maybe a little vineyard that her daddy had, working and laboring there in the field with her brothers. And Solomon fell in love with her. He was struck by her beauty. Amen. He had eyes for her only. Amen. At least at this point in his life, he was a one-woman man. And listen, she made his heart beat a little bit faster, and she presented some joy that was not there. Amen. And he made a purchase and he bought this girl. Amen. And he was willing to provide everything that she needed. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, we've been brought out of the wilderness of this world because of a purchase that was made 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And I'm his tonight because of what he purchased, but I'm also his because of what he could provide. Amen. Solomon had great riches and Solomon had great splendor tonight, and he was able to offer this girl a world and a life like she'd never seen, and he brought her up out of the wilderness. Amen. She was brought from the country of the wilderness to the city of worship. Amen. He brought her out of the country and he brought her to the city. He brought her to the obscure place, brought her from the obscure places in this world, and he made her his bride, and he set her up and he outfitted her and he gave her everything that she would need to be acclimated and to fit in to that new environment and that new life. Amen. He brought her out of the wilderness. And thank God tonight, listen, life has a way of getting us down. Amen. Life has a way of making us feel defeated tonight. Amen. But he said this. He said, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? That phrase, cometh out, has the idea of ascension. Amen. It has the idea of going up. By the way, anytime you're coming out of the wilderness and you're headed toward the holy city of God, anytime you're taking steps towards God, you're not going down, but you're going up. Amen. And thank God, He's lifting us up out of this world. He's brought us up out of the wilderness. And He's promised that He may bring us out. And He's brought us in. And thank God, He'll bring us through tonight. Amen. I'm reminded of what David said in Psalm chapter number 3. He said, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. He said, but thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. Thank God, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Thank God, when you get down, amen, and you get weary in this wilderness, boy, it just do us good every once in a while just to think about Jesus and think about what He's done for us tonight. Oh, thank God, He is the lifter up of our head. Thank God, we could come on a Wednesday night and we may not shout it out every time. We may not be swinging from the chandeliers every midweek service. Oh, but thank God, we can come and with the consistency of the Word of God and the consistency of the worship of the saints of God, we can be reminded that there is a God who's called us out of the wilderness, and He's taken us to Himself one day, and He's lifted us up, and He's lifted us out that He may bring us through one day. Amen. We see that procession. But then notice with me, we not only see that procession. Thank God, He's coming to get her and He's coming to get us one day. But why is He able to do that? Why is He doing that tonight? We see the procession. Oh, but listen to me. Then we see the price tonight. Amen. Look at what the Bible says again in verse number 6. That onlooker asked the question, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Amen. Hey, let me just stop right here and say this. Weddings can be expensive. Now, I've got two daughters, amen, and I'm not looking forward to having to pay for two of them, amen. I feel for those who have more than I do, amen, but weddings can be expensive. They can be pricey. Y'all just go down to the Justice of the Peace, amen, save a whole lot of money, and take a big honeymoon. That's just my 2 cents tonight, amen, but they can be expensive. But when it came to Solomon and his bride, listen, money and price was no object, amen. He was willing to spend what he needed to spend. Amen. He had great riches and he had great resources, and he would employ them in order to bring the bride to himself. I'm glad, thank God, when it came to Calvary and it came to the redemption of mankind, listen, heaven spared no expense. I'm glad, thank God, God, I was willing to give us His best. I'm glad He didn't send an angel. He didn't send some prophet. He didn't send some representative. Oh, but He gave of Himself. Thank God, He was willing to come and put on a robe of flesh, and He was willing to walk in the human experience. He was willing to put on the robe of flesh. He was made a little lower than the angels. He was made subject, amen, out of this world. And He did all that because He loved you and He loved me, and He was willing to pay the price because He saw a bride and He saw a church and He saw a world that stood in need of redemption tonight. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Amen. There was none that could make a covenant with him. There was none that could uphold their end of the deal. So what did God do in His actions toward grace concerning Abraham? Thank God, listen, He just put Abraham to sleep, and He said, he'll mess it up. He'll foul it all up. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm just going to make a covenant with myself. Amen. There's none greater. I can't swear by any greater. I'll just make an agreement with myself. And can I tell you, over 2,000 years ago, God the Father, Father and God the Son, they met in agreement. He knew man would foul it up. He knew we'd make a mess of things. But when God could swear by no greater, God the Father and God the Son made a covenant with one another. And thank God we're allowed in by faith tonight. Amen. He mentions myrrh. And he mentions frankincense, the great price that was paid by Jesus at Calvary, the bitterness of sin, the dregs of a judgment of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9 that he tasted death for every man. Amen. Thank God. Listen, I believe in a whosoever will gospel. I've got Bible chapter and verse that Jesus died for every man. He tasted death for the entirety of the world. And God turned the lights out that day at Calvary and turned his face away from his darling son, and he did that for you, and he did it for me tonight. Amen. He paid the price concerning the bitterness of sin, judgment, and death. But then notice this, he paid the price so that she could rest. I like this. The Bible said in verse number 7, behold his bed. And that word bed later on is used in the word of God as chariot. And this was a caravan. This was a bed or couch that was carried by these valiant men. And he did this for the sole purpose that that girl wouldn't have to walk from her house in the wilderness all the way up through the city gate there in Jerusalem. They carried her for the whole way. Amen. There was a very ornate and luxurious couch upon that chariot. And that girl could lay back and she could recline and she could enjoy the journey. Amen. Aren't you glad because of what Jesus provided? Listen, I believe there's some people they're enduring this thing, but I want to enjoy it tonight. Thank God there's joy in serving Jesus. Amen. Listen, we as Baptists, we can be happy. We can be joyous. Amen. We can enjoy being saved. And thank God she was able to recline and to rest at who he was and where she was going. And thank God there was joy in the journey. Amen. And we can rest in what he's provided. Amen. We don't have to be coming apart at the seams all the time. We don't have to be worried about everything with fear and anxiety. Thank God his perfect love casteth out fear. And thank God we can rest in who he is and rest in who we are in Christ and rest in that great position that he has provided in himself. Thank God the great price that was paid on Calvary. Isaiah looked down the hallway of time and he said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There at Calvary, a divine transaction took place. He took our unrighteousness. He took our guilt and our shame. He took his wrath and he poured it all out on his son. Thank God so that we could receive holiness and we could receive righteousness and that we could have joy. Thank God. And thank God that joy that we have, it's our strength tonight. The joy of the Lord, hallelujah, is our strength, as the scripture says. Amen. Well, we see not only the procession, we see the price that was paid. But then, Sister Melody mentioned in her testimony tonight that protection. I see the protection of this bride. Amen. Thank God God is in the business of protecting and preserving his church tonight. Amen. Look what he said again in verse number 7. He said, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. 60 men are surrounding this woman. 60 men have made their journey with her from the wilderness all the way to the city of God, from the wilderness all the way to her future husband, from the loneliness of the country, thank God, to the companionship that Solomon can offer and the provision that Solomon can offer. These 60 men were here to ensure that she made the trip safely. Amen. She would be protected and she would be preserved. And listen, here is what he gave her and here's what he provided her tonight. He gave her 60 valiant men with a sword. Amen. They were ready to do battle. They were ready to fight off any opposition. They were able to take care of any threat. They were able to take care of any enemy that would come and try to get to the bride. And can I tell you tonight, listen, in the church age, God has provided His church with provision and He has provided His church with protection. Thank God. Paul said to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11 that He gave some apostles and He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some pastors and He gave some teachers. And I'm thankful for the men of God that I've known down through the years who knew how to wield the sword, who drove back the forces of the devil, who helped us to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Thank God for a Holy Ghost filled man of God who's got on the whole armor of God to preach a timely word when we need it, to give us exactly what we need. Nobody knew about our situation. We didn't tell anybody. We were just praying, talking to God, and God sent a fitly spoken word by one of His servants to help protect us and to help preserve us. That doesn't mean there won't be any martyrs. Church history proves that. Amen. Both ancient and modern, people have given their life for the gospel. And it does not mean that we'll be free of harm. And it does not mean that people won't face death. But here's what it does mean tonight, that God is protecting and God is preserving and God is protecting His church. Amen. And listen, the world can do whatever they want to. Voltaire said that the word of God would be out of print. But I believe that they bought his house and they put a press in that place to help print and publish the word of God. Listen, we can't stamp this book out. We can't do away with God. We can't shut the Savior out. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, the word of God is not bound. Thank God for those missionaries and thank God for those men that go in darkest Africa, those that go behind prison bars. And I'm glad tonight that the word of God, we may be limited and we may be bound, but the word of God is not bound tonight. And you may kill the messenger, but you can't stop the message tonight. Hallelujah. God has promised to protect and preserve His bride. Why were those men given? In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11, they were given for the perfecting of the saints. They were given for the work of the ministry. They were given for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know what Paul told the church at Thessalonica? I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. Here's what he said. He said, despise not prophesying. Amen. We're living in a day where people, when it comes to preaching, they can take it or leave it. I'm telling you, there's been times and moments in my life, and you can testify to this too. Man, if God hadn't sent a word, and God hadn't sent a preacher, and God hadn't sent a message, there's no telling where I'd be. There's no telling how far out in left field I'd be. Boy, I'm telling you, when I got saved, thank God, God put me in the right crowd. Amen. He hooked me up with the right men of God. I'm telling you, thank God, there's nothing I'd trade for this way. Thank God, He's put us exactly where He wants us, and He's bought us and purchased us, and He has provided for us, and He has protected us, and He has preserved us every step of the way. Tonight, we see not only this protection, but I want you to look at Solomon for just a moment and I'll be done. I want you to see the preeminence. The preeminence tonight. Look what the Bible says in verse number 9. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Now, I don't have time to go into all of it tonight, but he mentions the wood, he mentions the silver, he mentions the gold, and he mentions the purple. Quickly, we have a good picture of the gospel there in verses 9. In verse number 10, he mentions that wood that speaks to us of the humanity of Christ, how God became a man. He mentions that silver, which is always indicative and typical of redemption in the Word of God. That gold symbolizes his deity, and the purple tells us about his royalty. Amen. Thank God. Listen, he put aside the splendor of heaven. He put on a robe of flesh, came to do the work that only he could. And thank God he is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. And he's coming back one day not as a lowly shepherd. He's not coming back meek and quiet, but he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords tonight. Amen. And so we see his preeminence concerning his lordship. Secondly, tonight we not only see his preeminence concerning his lordship, but we see his preeminence concerning his love. Notice what he said. He said, the midst of this chariot being paved with love. You remember earlier in the book what she said? She said, his banner over me is love. And then he said, the bottom of that chariot was paved with love. Amen. That's a pretty good setup, isn't it? But love above me and love below me, satisfied and secured and surrounded by the love of God. That word love in our text, the Hebrew word, is the equivalent of the Greek word agape. Amen. That agape love is that godly love. Amen. It's not that fleshly phileo love. It is that godly love, that agape love, that unconditional and that unlimited love tonight. And thank God, just as he told Israel, he said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. And thank God, no doubt he loved her. No doubt Christ loves the church and he gave himself for it. As the songwriter said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No other friend has been kind and true. Thank God. Listen, I'm glad he has loved us with an everlasting love. There's nothing that we can do once we're in the palm of his hand to escape his love. Paul said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, the breadth, or any other creature. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors tonight through him that loved us. And I'm thankful for the love of God, and he's preeminent in his love. Nobody will ever love you like Jesus loves you tonight. Amen. You may find yourself in trouble tonight. You may find yourself in a hard place, but I'm glad that we can run to his love. Hallelujah. Thank God he'll carry us home on that love. We see the preeminence of his lordship, his love, and I'm done tonight. We see the preeminence of his land. He was taking her to a place like she'd never known. He was taking her to a place greater than anything that she had ever seen in that little country home that she had out there in the wilderness. But here was the instruction given in verse number 11. He said, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold, King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. One of these days, the Jew is going to truly and fully inhabit that land based upon the promise of God. But I'm glad they won't be there alone. Amen. Thank God. Listen, hand in hand with Israel, hand in hand with the Jew. Thank God this old Gentile bride is going to crown him king. Hallelujah. And one of these days we will be with our Lord. She mentions that crown that his mother gave him in the day of his espousals. Back in those days, whenever they were married, this was a common custom. The crown was fashioned and given to the bridegroom on the day of his marriage. But after the destruction of the temple, and after the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, there was a new tradition that took place. And Brother Samuel, you know about this at the Jewish wedding, and many of us have seen it on movies and different things like that. The pronouncement of that couple being married, what they'll do is they'll take that glass and they'll wrap it in a towel and they'll put it on the ground and they'll stomp it, and everybody will yell Mazel Tov in congratulation. And what this tradition does is it points back to the destruction of the temple. And in essence, those Jews are saying that the temple is destroyed. The place of worship is destroyed. But this union and this home, may this be a place where God dwells. May this be a place that is known for the worship of Almighty God. And while they have that tradition in their blindness, I'm glad there is coming a day, though the temple may be destroyed and though much of their Jewish history may be lost, thank God there's coming a day where they'll look on their Messiah and they'll say, my God, and he'll say, my people, and they'll look on him who they pierced, and a nation will be born in a day, and no longer will there be that separation of a Jew and Gentile, of the bride of Christ alike. We'll be brought in the land to dwell with Christ forever. One of these days, just like Solomon sent for his bride, I'm glad he's not sending a caravan. As wonderful as 60 valiant men may be, he's not sending a committee. He's not sending a representative. But Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Amen. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Thank God he's coming again. And thank God we'll be with him forevermore. But until then, we've got his love, we've got his protection, we've got his provision, and we've got his blessing tonight. Amen. The wilderness, the journey may have you looking around and find yourself in despair. But would you look to Jesus tonight, the author and the finisher of our faith? Would you look to Jesus tonight? As David said, he is the helper. He is the glory and the lifter up of mine head. As they play with the song tonight, would you stand?